Okay, we're back. This is part two of just a quick review lecture on the Civil War, and we're picking the Civil War up about 1862. We left off with Antietam, okay, and remember the two real big effects of the Battle of Antietam in September of 1862. By the way, Northerners and North Carolinians called the battle Sharpsburg. The Union tended to name their battles after geography, like Antietam Creek, but the Confederacy tried to name their battles after local towns or local cities. So good example, Antietam for the Union, Sharpsburg for the Confederacy. You know, coming off the Battle of Bull Run in July of 1861, people understood something. It wasn't going to be just a one battle and the war's over. It was going to be a very long process. And yes, the war, you know, does evolve out of slavery. But for Union men, it becomes a crusade. It becomes a crusade to preserve the Union. And as the war drags on and as the war officially becomes about slavery with things like the Emancipation Proclamation, there'll be tensions in both armies for a wide variety of reasons. And we'll see that in something called the New York City Draft Riots that I hope to mention to you. At Shiloh, 1862, following the Battle of Bull Run, Shiloh was a very, very bloody battle on the Tennessee line. And there were more men killed at Shiloh than in any and all of America's wars combined up to that point. And this is something that the Civil War is going to do. It's going to match old Napoleonic fighting techniques with brand new technologies, like better rifled barrels that can shoot more accurately per soldier, cannons that can shoot all manner of things over long distances. And then, of course, towards the end of the war, you have something called the Gatling gun, a revolving gun that can shoot out many bullets per minute. We've talked about Antietam, which comes next, September of 1862. And then you have the Siege of Vicksburg beginning by the Union Navy. Vicksburg was a very important city on the Mississippi River. You know, one of the things that was happening early on in the war for the South is they were gaining victories. And they were also used to winning with less. At Chancellorsville in May of 1863, Robert E. Lee, commanding the Army of Northern Virginia, and Stonewall Jackson, one of the greatest soldiers in American military history, they will meet and they will divide their army against Joseph Hooker's Union Army. And on paper, there's no way that the South can win. If we're going to Vegas, we're all betting for the Union Army. But somehow, through strategic decision making and just sheer guts, the Confederacy will divide their army and they will defeat Joseph Hooker's army at the Battle of Chancellorsville. So they're keyed up. They're used to winning with less. Okay? The next battle, though, proves that it's not always capable of an army to win with less. At Gettysburg in the summer of 1863, Robert E. Lee will take the war north for the second time. The first time Robert E. Lee took the war north was at the Battle of Antietam. And this is the next time that the Confederacy will go north, in part to try to take the pressure off, because, you know, Virginia fields are ripped apart by shell and shot. Bodies are being buried in mass graves, and you're lucky if the pigs and the goats and the horses don't dig them up. You know, you can imagine a smell when in the area when thousands of men are dying in places like Fredericksburg and Chancellorsville and Second Bull Run, Antietam, and so forth. Gettysburg becomes, in the summer of 1863, the largest battle ever fought on North American soil to date. All told, there were 52,000 men killed and wounded combined on both sides during the battle. If you think about it, and if you've ever visited the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C., there are 58,800 plus names on that black granite wall, etched in stone. 58,800 names for a war in Vietnam that lasted over 10 years. In 3 days at Gettysburg in 1863, you have 52,000 casualties. That ought to give you a sense of just the carnage itself. Okay? You know, there was no battle. There wasn't supposed to be a battle fought at Gettysburg, but the armies engage, and it lasts over 3 days. The climax of the Gettysburg battle will occur on July 3rd, 1863, with a charge of 13,000 Confederates coming out of the woods at a place called Seminary Ridge. They're going to walk just a little over a mile in full pack under the eyes of a very large Union army, because Robert E. Lee feels like the battle on the first day was tough, the battle on the second day was tough, but maybe on the third day the Confederacy can break the Union line in the center of the Union line on Cemetery Ridge. And against the advice of some of his commanders, like General Longstreet, Robert E. Lee decides that the Union Army is going to break in the middle. And so he orders a charge of 13,000 men. The charge itself takes about 45 minutes. A Union man standing on the ridge watching those Confederates come out along Seminary Ridge said it was the most beautiful thing he ever saw in his life. But it doesn't last very long. And only half of the 13,000 Confederates were returned to the place that they marched off of about an hour later. Never again will the South invade the North. And a lot of people argue that at Gettysburg the war was won for the Union and lost for the Confederacy. Now that may not be true, because the Confederacy lasts almost 2 years after this. And they'll do things that tend to show up in our discussion of World War One. The Confederates will dig in. They'll dig trenches. And the Union will have to assault those entrenched positions. And that's going to lead to a lot of casualties at places like Cold Harbor, Virginia. There are four major turning points from the war that I really want you to know. In fact, that's going to be a question for you on some test or some quiz. There are four major turning points that I want you to be aware of. Antietam is, Bull Run is the first major turning point, July 1861, because it shows that the Civil War is going to be a long war. Antietam is the next one, because it's the single bloodiest day in American history, and as we were just talking about, Abraham Lincoln issues, yep, you got it, that Emancipation Proclamation. It doesn't free all the slaves, but it frees the slaves in areas of the Confederacy, and it is definitely a war measure. We can throw Vicksburg in as a turning point, because the following year after the siege, Vicksburg falls to the Union, and the Union will capture the Mississippi River. And this is a great example of the Anaconda Plan working very well. Gettysburg is a turning point because, you know, just because of the loss and the carnage and the fact that Lee's Army of Northern Virginia is turned away. And think about it, guys. Here's another reason why it's a turning point. You know, about 5 months after the Gettysburg Battle, which again becomes the largest battle ever fought on North American soil to date, and the casualties were so massive that a committee was put together to form a federal cemetery to honor the dead at Gettysburg. All told, the Civil War creates at least 7 national cemeteries. And of course, on November 19, 1863, Lincoln comes to Gettysburg just to give a couple of remarks. And of course, today we know that those remarks, spoken in less than 3 minutes, becomes the Gettysburg Address, some of the most famous words in American history. Another turning point is Sherman's march. General Sherman, is Union commander, is going to capture Atlanta. when General Sherman captures Atlanta, he basically helps Abraham Lincoln win the 1864 election and keeps the Republicans in power. Now, this was very important because there were some people that wanted the federal government to quit, wanted slavery where it was to continue, okay? And it's very important that Lincoln was elected because Lincoln wanted to finish the job and was already thinking about how to preserve that union. In 1863, the same year of the Gettysburg Battle, he had worked up something called the 10% Plan. And the 10% Plan was going to allow southern states to be reconstructed back into the Union if 10% of the population pledged themselves back into the Union. Unfortunately, we'll never know if the 10% Plan was going to work because Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. But Sherman, General Sherman, is going to save the election of 1864 for Abraham Lincoln by capturing Atlanta. Of course, we know that in September of 1864, Atlanta is captured, and then early spring, 1865, April 9th, 1865, General Lee is going to arrive at the farmhouse of Mr. McLean. And then he'll be met there by General Grant of the Union Army. And General Grant will sit with General Lee of the Confederacy and write out the terms of surrender. April 9th, 1865. And just a few days later, on April 14th, 1865, it's Good Friday. You know, it's Easter, it's Good Friday. Abraham Lincoln will go to Ford's Theater with his wife to see the best play in America, Our American Cousin. He shows up late, the play stops, he'll be given a, we might say, a round of applause, and then he goes to sit with his wife and Major Rathbone and his date in the presidential box. And while the play is going on, an actor who knows everything about this play, knows when there's going to be quiet, knows when there's going to be laughter, sneaks into the presidential box. And as Mrs. Lincoln is grabbing the arm of her husband, John Wilkes Booth will shoot the president. The bullet lodges behind an eye, and Abraham Lincoln is in intense pain. He'll be basically placed on a piece of plywood and carried across the street to a place called the Peterson House, where all night into Saturday morning, April 15th, he is in agony as he's bleeding out. Mrs. Lincoln is so distraught, so upset, that she has to be taken from the room. And at 7:20 on at 7:20 on April 15th, 1865, two men come out onto the steps of the Peterson House. One is a pastor. One is Secretary of War Edwin Stanton. The pastor simply says a prayer. It's 7:21. At 7:22 a.m., just across the street from the place where he was shot fatally, Secretary of War Edwin Stanton, describing Lincoln, simply says, "Now he belongs to the ages." The Civil War is over, but the healing will have to just begin. And that'll be a story for another time. Thank you.